from deep inside your radio.
Well, things sound strange here, so I must be back. It always sounds strange. They've changed something, and now I have to just fiddle for a while to see how close to normal things can hear in my head. Ladies and gentlemen, it's getting so close to the 1 year anniversary of the horrible stuff that I don't think we're anywhere near close to normal now. Now we're in new normal mode again. But before we get into that, first of all, I just have to say, after, 6, 7, 8 years, I've started to care about the WNBA because Los Angeles, back-to-back championships. I know, it doesn't mean anything. None of it means anything, but this particularly. But still, you know, two sweeps in a year. What are you going to do except celebrate and care? Pretend to care, at least. I do bring some news, ladies and gentlemen, from my foreign travels. And I'm no savvy traveler or anything like that, but I just want to tell you, do whatever you can to avoid changing terminals at London's Heathrow Airport. You will so thank me. You will, you know, if you have to fly from some city in Europe into London and then from London to Los Angeles, as I did, don't do it. Do something else. Take the train. Swim back. Really, you will find, first of all, the 2 hours you spend going from one terminal to another, two of the worst hours you've ever spent in your life. You'll find yourself thinking, why would it take 2 hours to get from Terminal 4 to Terminal 3? And then you'll ask, and why would they treat me so badly while doing it? You've not cattle on their way to the slaughter pass through lovelier decor than you will if you defy my advice. I'm telling you. And then you wait for the mystery coach to take you after you've passed through the cattle pen. And then there's more. And you're going, you swear that coach is taking you out of the airport, around the countryside, and back. But it's not. It's just taking some weird. And the other thing they do is, and this of course ties in with our continuing series of reports on airport security. In my case, I had flown from Paris. Thank you very much. It was my pleasure. And so, of course, before I could get on the plane in Paris, I went through security, as one does. Nonetheless, upon arriving at Heathrow Airport, never leaving the secure zone, just getting off the plane and going through the cattle pen, which is totally secure, I had to go through, to be able to get on the coach to take me to the next terminal, had to go through security all over again. Like, where do they think I'd been? Did they think I'd been fashioning scissors in the plane? Unbelievable. Okay, so that's my advice. Ignore it at your peril. Ladies and gentlemen, since we last spoke live on this program, two friends, acquaintances of mine have died. I wanted to take a moment at the beginning of the broadcast to take note of their passing. One is fairly well known. There was a lot of talk about it when it happened in Los Angeles. I just wasn't on the air at the time. But the amazing Chick Hearn passed away about 3.5 weeks ago. And I actually had the pleasure of sharing a microphone with Chick Hearn one summer doing summer league basketball in New York City and Los Angeles on cable TV, in the dawn of cable TV, with Chick and one other guy. That's right, three of us trying to share the oxygen. And there's, you know, when after Chick Hearn has attacked the microphone, there was never an awful lot of oxygen left, but it was great fun. And then years later, I went to an adult basketball camp, so-called, and the highlight of the camp was the final game at the end of the camp, which was described on videotape, a little gift for us, after we'd paid $4 million for the privilege, by Chick Hearn. I haven't been able to find that game yet, but I will dig up that tape just to show how his powers of being able to embarrass incompetence at whatever level, because he did it to me. He was a major part of Southern California life, and although I made pretty much fun of him, he's going to be sorely missed. And also, Mr. Peter Matz, a great orchestrator and composer, passed away a few weeks ago. You may have heard the music he wrote for the musical J. Edgar that I co-wrote with Tom Leopold. Peter wrote the music, and he's missed as well. So saying, stay out of Heathrow. Hello, welcome to the show. Go Sparks! How about that, Lisa Leslie?
Too many people going underground. Too many reaching for a piece of cake. Too many people pulled and pushed around. Too many waiting for that lucky break. That was your first mistake.
lovers in the rain and flowers in the stall on the Rue Madeleine near the Place Pigalle. How amusing when the gypsies stole our wine. Remember Notre Dame, where we chatted with the hunchback? The dim cafe where we had to send the lunch back? Ah, Paris in the spring. It was all too, too divine. Another song about Paris. Is there room for one more? Is there really a note or a word we all haven't heard before? Is there one thing about Paris left to sing, left to say? Though they still may be gay on the Rue de la Paix near the Champs-Élysées, in that sidewalk cafe where Maurice Chevalier sipped his café au lait, I'm afraid that today is become, how you say, more or less a cliché to sing a song about Paris. Charming though it may be, another song about Paris is like another cup of water in the sea. So spare us another song about Paris, 'cause all the songs about Paris sound exactly the same to me. Pigeons on the grass on the Rue Soufflot, pigeons under glass at the Dermagogue. How confusing when we couldn't find Montmartre. Remember the small hotel where we didn't tip the waiter? The way we fell when we met the waiter later. Ah, dinner at Maxime's. It was toujours a la carte. I could sing songs about Paris till I ran out of breath. I defy you to find me just one that hasn't been done to death. It's all been said about Paris. Let it lie, let it be. Though they still say we, and they sigh, c'est la vie, as they sip their Chablis on the Rue Rivoli. I'm afraid, mon ami, one more gay melody sung for Lady Paris is a fait accompli. A cold cup of tea. There's nothing wrong about Paris. It's a nice place to be. You may feel strong about Paris, and maybe 50 million Frenchmen will agree. But spare us another song about Paris, 'cause all the songs about Paris sound exactly the same to me. Merci. We'll be right back.
From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to Le Show, live and lively. And speaking of home of the homeless, some people are taking me seriously. big mistake about nominating other communities for the title of home of the homeless. Dear Harry, in case the title of home of the homeless is still up for grabs, I'd like to nominate my hometown, East Liverpool, Ohio. Just by the name, I'd give it to you guys. East Liverpool, Ohio. How sad. Pennsylvania, located in the crotch of the tri-state area, precisely where Pennsylvania and West Virginia meet, East Liverpool offers the kind of post-industrial ambience our homeless are nostalgic for. Just 5 miles up the Ohio River is the oldest commercial nuclear power plant in the nation. We were recently offered pills to counteract thyroid cancer. In town, we boast Waste WTI, who operates a hazardous waste incinerator a good 200 feet from a school. Actually, East Liverpool is the home of the homemade tattoo. Our congressman, Jim Traficant, was just drummed out of office. Incidentally, we were once represented by the notorious Wayne Hayes, who was embroiled in a sex scandal in the mid-70s. Yeah, wasn't it his sex partner found in a body of water, a decorative body of water in the nation's capital? My point is that we here have ample history of the kind of representation inept enough to keep most of us homeless. Not homely. You're very good-looking. I'm sorry. Homeless already. Okay. Harry, San Francisco is the winner. Two nominees for second place, Sacramento from K Street down 12th past the river and on to Del Paso Heights. I used to live there. God. People sleeping in tents and under cardboard by the river. And two, San Leandro on East 14th Street near the Oakland-San Leandro city lines. Okay. We'll have a vote one of these days. I don't know how we'll do it. We'll call Catherine Harris. See how she figures it out. Florida's Secretary of State, for those of you with short memories. And finally, Judy from Redding, California, suggests Redding, California. We are centrally located with easy access to I-5. We are in the cradle of Mount Shasta, Mount Lassen, Lake Shasta, Shasta Dam, Whiskeytown Lake, Trinity Lake, and Lewiston Lake. Sounds nice. Recreation, we have many bridges crossing the Sacramento River. And this community of 90,000 provides one overpass for the railroad that runs through town. The bridges and overpasses provide adequate bedroom facilities for the homeless, plus the bridge sites have running water. The town is cut into pieces by a mall and a hospital and judicial system. Because the aforementioned causes inadequate traffic flow, it lends itself to a future that will allow ample time for a getaway if it becomes necessary. The local police and county sheriff have difficulty maneuvering Redding proper. She nominates Redding, not Pennsylvania, Redding, California. All right, those are the nominees so far, along with Oakland. Which somebody nominated today, not for Home of the Homeless, but Home of the Homicides. But that's another story, as they say. Here's another. Here it is. Harry, I agree with the listener who nominated San Francisco as Home of the Homeless. I think San Francisco is nosing into the lead, you should pardon the expression. San Francisco has more homeless people in more parts of the city than any other city I've ever seen, and I've been to Santa Monica many times. But the city I live in, Oakland, is leading the state, maybe the country, in homicides. Different subject. You change the subject, you lose me, babe. Speaking of lost, ladies and gentlemen, this story, which you probably heard already, really does bewilder me, not for the obvious reason. Michael Jackson was left embarrassed on Thursday after he proudly accepted a non-existent award for Artist of the Millennium in front of millions of TV viewers. Confusion arose. I'm reading. Confusion arose when Britney Spears called the singer on stage at the MTV Video Music Awards in New York to present him with a cake to celebrate his 44th birthday. He doesn't look a day over 12. She added that for her, Jackson was the artist of the millennium. But Jackson took her words to mean that he was being honored as the greatest singer of the past 1,000 years. He even gave an emotional acceptance speech to the celebrity-packed audience at Radio City Music Hall. Quote, when I was a little boy growing up in Indiana, if someone told me I'd be getting the Artist of the Millennium Award, I'd never have believed it, he said. He went on to thank God, his parents, and the magician David Blaine. A spokesman for MTV said it was all, quote, a bit of a misunderstanding. There is no such award as the Artist of the Millennium. I think some wires got crossed, unquote. All right, let's do as we used to say in the Clinton-Monica days, a little parsing, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, the magician David Blaine? What happened to Uri Geller? Michael is so fickle. Secondly, you know, when you go on an award show and you're getting a special award, a Jean Hersholt Humanitarian Award, an Irving Thalberg Award, an Artist of the Millennium Award, you know about it in advance. Otherwise, how do they know you don't show up? And then they're embarrassed. So, yes, you know about it in advance. So the idea that it would be in someone's head that suddenly, in the last minute, as a surprise, they'd spring the Artist of the Millennium Award on you. A. B. Artist of the Millennium? And C. And C. Later. Now for the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
A bit of a misunderstanding. Bloomberg issues the following apology, not the mayor, the company. On 4 August 2002, Bloomberg, the news organization that the New York mayor started, published an article entitled "How Far Can Singapore Incorporated Get Out of Business?" by Patrick Smith on our website, Bloomberg.com. We recognize that this article was understood to mean that Prime Minister Goh Chok Tong was or had been a party to the appointment of Madam Ho Ching as a executive director of Temasek, not on merit, but in order to indulge the interests of the Lee family or for some other corrupt motive relating to the promotion of the Lee family's interests, and in so doing had failed to discharge his duties as Prime Minister and act in the best interests of Singapore. The article was also understood to mean that Senior Minister Lee Kuan Yew and Deputy Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong had procured the appointment of Madam Ho Ching and were therefore guilty of nepotism. We admit and acknowledge that these allegations are false and completely without foundation. We unreservedly apologize to Prime Minister Goh Chok Tong, Senior Minister Lee Kuan Yew, and Deputy Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong for the distress and embarrassment caused to them by these allegations. We undertake not to make further allegations to the same or similar effect. We have agreed to pay, they said, people, damages by way of compensation, and to indemnify them for all the costs and expenses incurred by them in connection with this matter. Bloomberg, ladies and gentlemen, which apparently wants to keep operating in Singapore and knows how to do it. Dateline Boston, the chairman of the Boston Beer Company, apologized for his company's association with a radio station promotion that ended in the arrest of a couple who allegedly had sex in St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York. Jim Koch, whose company makes Samuel Adams beer, was at the radio station when disc jockeys Opie and Anthony promoted a feature where couples could rent a trip for having sex in risky places. My presence on the show was a lapse in judgment, a serious mistake, and I regret it, Koch said. We are reevaluating our policy on radio station appearances. He should have just said he was drunk on the beer. Wouldn't that have done the... The shock jocks were fired from the station after a public backlash against the station. We at the Boston Beer Company formally apologize to all those upset or offended by the incident on the Opie and Anthony show and by our association with it, Koch said. We were not in control of the program, and it was never our intention to be part of a radio promotion that crossed the line. I didn't want to miss the chance to reach 5 million beer drinkers, he said later. The couple were arrested after they allegedly had sex in the cathedral vestibule, just a few feet from worshippers. He should have said he was drunk on his own beer. I'm sorry. That's the way you do it. Confectionery giant Cadbury has apologized for an advertisement that compared disputed Indian-controlled cashmere to a chocolate that was too good to share. The ad appeared in a Bombay. Haven't they changed the name of the city to Yeah, they have. But the AP still calls it Bombay. The ad appeared in a Bombay newspaper on August 15th, India's Independence Day, and featured a map highlighting the boundaries of Kashmir State, the Indian-controlled part of a region both India and Pakistan claim. Below the map, the ad reads, "Issued in the spirit of Independence Day by Cadbury Temptations, international chocolates you'd love to share, but won't." Members of India's ruling party stormed to the company's offices in Bombay on that day, accusing the company of trivializing the Kashmir issue. Cadbury India issued a written apology. The director of the company said the advertisement was issued entirely in good faith. In case sentiments have been hurt, we sincerely apologize. And two city council members in in the Indianapolis area, would this be? Yeah, I think so. Began making amends for their use of racially divisive language. Councilman Robert Massey said he was now sickened by his use of the words gorillas and thugs. In a statement issued 2 weeks ago defending police conduct at this year's Indiana Black Expo summer celebration. Councilman William Dowden said he also regretted the words. The controversial statement written by Massey and issued under both of their names said, it is patently ridiculous for public officials to capitulate to the real gorillas and thugs, those extremists who would use the horrible label racist against anyone who doesn't do exactly what they want when they want it. Massey said he did not realize the words were a racial slur. You got to pay attention. That's really, if the councilman and Michael Jackson aren't enough examples of the need to really stay on focused, stay on the beam. Don't be drinking too much of the beer. You see what I'm saying? Of course you are. I'd like to accept the Radio Host of the Millennium Award, just in case it's ever offered. I'm going to accept it right now, in full awareness of the fact that up to this moment, there is no such award. But you never know. The president of media giant News Corporation warns that the Internet has become a moral-free zone. That's right. The guy who runs the Fox network has accused the Internet of being amoral. What are you going to do with material like that, ladies and gentlemen? I came back too late. The medium's future is threatened by pornography, spam, and rampant piracy. You do remember that News Corporation, speaking of piracy, was accused of, and to this point I don't think has ever denied, that they were involved in aiding piracy against a competitor in the pay television business over in Europe. Speaking at an annual conference in Aspen, Colorado, Peter Chernin decried the enormous amount of worthless content on the Internet. Now, I'm just leaving that pause for you to do whatever you want to do. He predicted without new laws to stave off illicit copying, News Corporation's vast library of movies may never be made available in digital form. Okay, good deal. Keep them. Quote, the vast potential of broadband has so far benefited nobody as clearly as it's benefited downloaders of pornography and pirates of digital content, Chernin said. Yeah, and videotape, first people who made money in that were pornographers. Pete, check it out. Also on the subject of digital media, ladies and gentlemen, Democrats across Tallahassee gathered in front of televisions Tuesday night to watch their party's candidates for governor debate. Instead, they saw a message scrolled at the top of the TV screen saying the debate would not be shown because of technical difficulties. The local NBC affiliate WTWC had planned to show the Palm Beach County debate live. Chris Butterick, general manager, said the station could not pick up the digital feed from the West Palm Beach station that originated the debate. We're embarrassed and disappointed that we weren't able to do what we said we were going to do, Butterick said. We've had some technical difficulties that we can't overcome. Butterick was apologetic, so he qualifies for apology of the week, about the mishap. He said when they found out the signal would be digital instead of analog, they tried several tests to route it through a receiver and then to his station, but that didn't work. Digital stuff. Even the pros can't make it work, ladies and gentlemen. Get yours now.
I went to San Francisco just to see Twin Peaks. I never looked up once.
Why's that?
There's too many girls on the street. Tried my hand at working. Couldn't get a lick of work done. With all them girls running around, I was missing out on all of my fun. But I'm a real big sports fan. I'm always here at the game. Keeping my eyes open for some good-looking dame. Tom Jack, don't set me back. I'm shooting straight from the hip. Women and girls and chicks and stuff. There ain't a girl I can't get. Ain't one gonna give me the slip. So cool, I come on. Take good times and then I'm gone. What can I tell you? With all that leg, I got it made. So cool is my approach. My style is known from coast to coast. What can I tell you? I'm doing it right, I'm dynamite. I'm doing it right, I'm dynamite. Just light my fuse and hold on tight. And the nice one holds you everything you told me. Another little law to fight. Miss, being the king. I'll try to slip you in between. If you have to wait in line as well, with the time to begin, right under the wire. Yeah, all my friends, they eat a lot. I don't give a damn what they do. Most of my food is dressed in skirts and walk about two by two. You know, it's religion. I pray whenever I can. with all them girls running around. I thank the Lord that I'm a man. Went to school to get some smarts. I learned a lot, maybe not. The co-ed that I studied with was always young and hot. There ain't no reason I should lie. I ain't that kind of a guy. For a one-night stand, I am the man to get your girlfriend high. Let me get your girlfriend high. So cool, do out tomorrow. You take your time and then I'm gone. What can I tell you? With all that leg, I got a Mexico. That's my approach. My style is known from coast to coast. What can I tell you? I'm doing it right. I'm dynamite. I'm doing it right. I'm dynamite. Just like my fuse. And hold on tight. And I won't go with everything. Don't do nothing. Little love fine. Be the king. I'll crack this get you in between. If you have to wait in line as well, what's your time to get you down into the wire? Hey, the army, they call me up. I'm afraid that I can't go. I'm a lover, not a fighter. By this time they should know. Time to spend the rest of my life doing what I do. I'll travel abroad and I'll dine on cod. And I'll waiter a table for two. Hey, waiter a table for two. Chicks and stuff, there ain't a girl I can't get. Ain't one gonna give me the slip. So cool, do I come on? Take a little time and then I'm gone. What can I tell you? With all that leg, I got it made. So cool, that's my approach. My style is known from coast to coast. What can I tell you? I'm doing it, 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 doing it.
This is Le Show. A couple items on the airline security tip. Airline passengers starting immediately will no longer be asked the routine security questions about whether they've kept a close eye on their baggage. Ticket agents have been required for the past 16 years to ask passengers two questions. Has anyone unknown to you asked you to carry an item on this flight, and have any of the items you've been traveling with been out of your immediate control since the time you packed them? They're being phased out because they create a hassle. Oh, I got a little list, if that's the only... Oh, and have never prevented a bombing or hijacking. Well, how do you know? Oh, I guess because... What, even the dumbest bomber or hijacker wouldn't be so stupid as to answer yes to either of the... Is that your point? Over the years, they have lost whatever original value they contributed, and now can be safely eliminated, according to James Loy, head of the Transportation Security Administration. The airlines are delighted, says Loy. The agency is considering eliminating the questions as part of a larger review of safety regulations. Passengers now will be allowed to carry drinks in paper or foam cups through metal detectors. Next to go may be random screening of passengers at airport gates. I think passengers would really like that, says a spokesman for the Air Travelers Association. We never understood that. You either do it right the first time or fix what you're doing in the security.
Okay.
And for years, the government touted air marshals as the best of the best, an elite corps of undercover officers trained to stop hijackings on commercial flights. Today, after rushing to hire thousands of new air marshals, the program, according to USA Today, which prints actual news now, the program is so beset with problems that sources say at least 80 marshals have quit, and other marshals say they're considering a class action lawsuit over working conditions that they fear put travelers at risk. One says the program has become like security guard training for the mall. Hiring standards for marshals added since September 11th have been lowered dramatically, sources say. No longer must applicants pass a difficult marksmanship course that used to be the make-or-break test for the program. In addition, many new hires were given guns and badges and put aboard flights before background checks were completed. the new normal, ladies and gentlemen. Now. I will read the trades for you. From advertising age, Rolling Stone reinvents itself. Maybe a good idea for all of us. I'll read it for you. I don't read Rolling Stone, says BJ Rubin, 24. What the magazine says is the median reader's age, and an avid music fan. Everything they've covered is hip and new. I've known about for a year. And so, in a bid to woo back the Mr. Rubens of the world, Rolling Stone late this week rolls out its high-profile remodeling, courtesy of new managing editor Ed Needham, sharpening the design, beefing up music coverage, and de-emphasizing lengthy features. That's right, the attention span conspiracy continues. That latter point provoked a heated reaction in the media world when asked about the changes. Jan Wenner, Rolling Stone's 56-year-old founder and still its editor-in-chief, fidgets at a conference table in his mogul-sized office and gazes up toward a swatch of Central Park. Quote, maybe there is a generational change. Maybe there is a larger significance, he concedes. But Rolling Stone has got to be as relevant today as it was 25 or 30 years ago. And the fact that pop culture is different and more commercial, that there's more media today, it's not my expletive fault. Unquote. Needham, the new editor, says Rolling Stone has always been a very thoughtful, considered, quite deep and ponderous magazine. All of which are strengths, but those kind of strengths can, I think, be considered by the reader as being rather scholarly and professorial and serious. Unquote. That is to say, those strengths are weaknesses. Mr. Needham dismisses talk that he's out to laddie-ize Rolling Stone, parenthesis, lad magazines like FHM are all the rage these days. And it's hard to imagine Wenner would let him go that far, but a lurid feature teased in the table of contents with the headline, "The Case of the Kinky Kidnapping," all K's, likely marks the first time the phrase, "Big Black Dildo," has appeared on that page twice, on a page where earnest editorials used to appear. Says Jim Harris, CEO of Chicago-based marketing strategist ThoughtStep. You're going to go young or grow old gracefully. Rolling Stone has decided it's not going to grow old gracefully. The question is how the plastic surgery is going to turn out. They usually turn out so well. Ask Michael Jackson. Oh, I editorialize, something I almost never do when I read the trades for you. Copyright speech. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in a moment.
My hair now, and wondering what dress to
Well, this is so sort of should have been in the trades section of the program, but we're so cheek to jowl with that it's kind of all right. Saudi Arabia plans to relaunch its TV ad campaign developed by Corvus Communications with a Q, Corvus with a Q, that depicts the kingdom as a staunch U.S. ally in the global fight against terror. A Republican Party consultant media buyer is buying cable time for the campaign. Corvus created 4 ads for Saudi Arabia in the spring. They'll run through the September 11th anniversary of the terror attacks carried out by 19 hijackers, of which 15 were from Saudi Arabia. How does that happen? The company gets $200,000 a month from Saudi Arabia to develop ads. So there'll be some ads touting Saudi Arabia as a staunch ally in the fight against terror. But there may be ads with another theme as well coming up.
Say it loud. I'm going to Saudi. Say it loud. I'm back and I'm Saudi. Hey, I'm the godfather of soul. Take it from me. There's no more soulful place to vacation than the new Saudi Arabia. Resort hotels that would make Vegas weep. And you never lose your shirt. Food and golfing fit for a king. Literally. And hey, the women are so fine. They're all gift wrapped. It's like my friend Prince Sultan says.
It's not your father's Saudi Arabia. It's mine.
So take it from Jane. Plan your Saudi Arabian vacation now. While you still can.
Saudi Arabia. It's not just for oil anymore.
Say it loud. I'm back and I'm Saudi. Hey, say it loud.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk reality. You remember reality. It's all the rage. First from Australia, the 10 network, their networks there are numbered rather than alphabetically identified. The 10 networks follow up to the ratings bonanza of Big Brother. Yeah, Big Brother was a hit down there. Another reality TV show, this one a fake, has landed it in court fighting for the right to fool people. 2 20-something job seekers were secretly filmed for a week, believing they were assisting on film shoots. They later discovered the footage was to be broadcast on a Saturday night. Earlier this month, their exploits in fictitious stunts such as monitoring a crocodile trap at 3 a.m., getting questioned at Sydney Airport, transporting a baboon's brain, sniffing perfume at a hoax press conference, and lamenting to a confidant on set about ex-boyfriends and ex-bosses were shown earlier this month in Mind Games, a real-life adventure. Crackerjack Productions chose 2 people, a boy and a girl. 10 who responded to a newspaper ad for self-starting girl-boy Friday in January. The Australian Competition and Consumer Commission took the case to the federal court in Sydney, which found Cracker Jack had misled the pair and misrepresented its own intentions. But the network will fight the federal order barring it from conducting future such dupes. At the end of the week's filming, the two job applicants supposedly were arrived at Sydney's Taronga Zoo to be confronted by family. The hoax was then unveiled, and a waiver of all rights to the footage were presented. The girl was mortified and ended up privately in tears. All right, then. But now, reality news from this country. CBS is bringing back the Beverly Hillbillies. This time, however, the family members won't be played by Hollywood actors. They'll be real live people from the South. CBS has decided once again to embrace its biggest hick hit of all. It once got rid of all its rural-tinged shows from the schedule. The network already has a crew of casting agents combing mountainous rural areas in Arkansas, West Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Kentucky in search of a multi-generational family of five or more, parents, children, and grandparents, who will be relocated for at least a year to a mansion in Beverly Hills. Says a CBS spokesman, we're looking for a family from a very rural area that hasn't been exposed to big city life or luxuries of life in any way. The family will be given money, exactly how much hasn't been determined, with which to buy expensive cars and designer suits, hire maids and personal assistants, and dine at hot West LA eateries. The head of reality programming for CBS told the trade paper Variety, the network is looking for a family that's very different but relatable and whose members love one another. And Fox, not to be outdone. Fox says it is developing a nonfiction comedy reality series that mirrors another old CBS hit, Green Acres. Details are still being hammered out, but the show will take a rich upper-class family or individual, possibly a celebrity, and move them from a big city to a much more Spartan existence, most likely in the South. Cameras will observe as the former socialites deprived of access to their bank accounts and beamers attempt to get a job, buy groceries, and fit in with average Americans. And that's not all.
Reality goes retro.
And big plans for an unhappy anniversary.
It's Extra Access tonight for the top of September 2002. Hi, everybody. I'm Pat Mungo.
And I'm Mike DeVere.
First, it was a reality show based on the Beverly Hillbillies. Then a reality show based on Green Acres. It seemed like the newest trend in television was turning the clock back in search of the future. Now the deja vu is happening all over again. And the results could be out of this world. They say men are from Mars, but reality producer Denny Stitch says he's looking to the red planet for both men and women for his new reality series based on the old hit TV show, My Favorite Martian.
We know they're out there. I mean, X-Files proved that. Now, thanks to this show and to a nationwide talent search, they can be in here.
Here is the abandoned Big Brother house in Studio City, California, given a $100,000 makeover. The idea is as simple as reality TV itself.
12 normal people are paired with two Martians, a guy and a babe. Yeah. They have to live together for 2 months. And each week, one of the normal guys gets voted out of the house by the Mars babe, and the Martian guy votes out one of the normal ladies.
But are there really Martians on planet Earth? And if so, are they ready for Sunday afternoons at 5 on TNN?
Our scientific advisor, Dr. Joyce Brothers, thinks so, and that's good enough for me and for TNN. The cool thing is that, according to our research, the Martians among us actually look like us. They don't even have funny-looking ears, despite what the original series suggested. But, you know, because we're doing reality. I don't want to be anti-diversity or anything, but to us, that similarity, that makes for great TV.
Look for the first reality show to admit it's using aliens to premiere just in time for the holidays.
And Pat, will we be seeing some of the original furnishings from the Big Brother house showing up on eBay?
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Coming up, Dignity Gets an Attitude. Television remembers 9/11 as Extra Access Tonight rolls on.
Most of us experienced the horror of 9/11 on TV. So it's no surprise that television is going all out on the one-year anniversary of the event that changed everything except television. NBC is planning all-day coverage, and Tom Brokaw explained why at a press conference.
You know, I think in some ways America has drifted away from our focus after September 11. For some reason, the American people have allowed ourselves to be distracted by child kidnappings and business scandals. Maybe we in the media are partly to blame. What we're going to do on 9/11 is try for at least one day to reset the agenda back to what it was on the original 9/11 and try to lose our innocence all over again.
Over at CBS, Dan revealed in an exclusive interview with Extra Access Tonight his network's plans for the big sad day.
People say to me, Dan, sir, with all due respect, are you going to show all of that footage over and over again? And straight from the spigot truth is that within the standards of journalistic responsibility and integrity that we at CBS News have always tried to talk about, we're going to own this story.
There will be special somber anniversary editions of many popular infomercials. There'll be a special edition of the new sitcom, Sucking Up, with no laugh track. And over at VH1, they're taping a live special, The Heart of the Music. We caught up with Dewey Gordon of the boy band superstars Boys R Us at the rehearsal of their new song.
Let's roll again.
Let's roll again.
Like we did last summer, summer, summer. Let's roll again.
Let's roll again.
And rock no more.
Rock no more.
Let's roll again.
Let's roll again is a way of saying, America, let's get together again. And this time, let's do it for good.
Okay, that works. Let's say it looks good.
Wherever on the dial you turn on September 11, there's no doubt about it. Television will be there with you.
That's it for today. But Extra Access Tonight comes bouncing back tomorrow with the results of our EAT poll.
We asked, are you changed since 9/11? And the answers will make you think about the questions.
Till then, I'm Pat Mungo.
And I'm Mike DeVere.
So long from Culver City.
Bye-bye.
Amazing.
ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations over NPR worldwide throughout Europe on the USEN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the American Forces Network on shortwave up and down the east coast of North America on WBCQ, the planet at 7.415 megahertz, and around the world whenever you want it at two different locations on your computer, www.kcrw.com and www.harryshearer.com. And it would be just like everybody getting the Artist of the Millennium Award, or at least it would be like the award existing, if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as still the home of the homeless.